Second Chronicles here in chapter 34. I told you this morning the title of the message is Stand to It. Stand to It. And we're going to see that in the passage of Scripture that we're going to read. Second Chronicles chapter 34. And let's begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. Isn't that incredible? 8 years old. Justin, how old are you? 9 years old. Just a bit over eight, right? How old is Caden now? 7 years old? Seven still? Almost eight. Can you imagine an eight-year-old Caden becoming the king? just a youth. Just a small boy, really. And yet Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, when he became the king. And you know what? Josiah was one of the greatest kings that the Israelites ever had. He really was. He sought the Lord. He loved the Lord and became one of their greatest kings. Look at it again. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. That's a good statement. And we'll see something later, maybe in the book of Joshua, where we're not to turn to the right hand or the left, are we? And he didn't do that. He didn't decline to the left or the right. He just kept going straight on, following the right way, doing the right thing, doing what the Lord would want him to do. It says in verse 3, "For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father." He sought after God. He was seeking God in his life and seeking to please God. And it says, "And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images." As he wanted to please God, he realized there were some things being practiced in our nation that they're just not right. They're just not pleasing to God. And there had been some kings before him that allowed there to be some things set up in the groves and some idol worship and so on taking place. And he said, "We're going to purge Israel from these things and we're going to get rid of these things." And that was a good decision. It says in verse 4, "And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and the images that were on the high above them he cut down. And the groves and the carved images and the molten images he break in pieces and made dust of them. And strawed it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem." He was again purging it of this sin, this abomination of the idolatry and so on. Verse 6 says, "And he did so in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali, with their mattocks round about. When he had broken down the altars and the groves and had beaten the graven images into powder and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Now in the 18th year of his reign," so this is now when he's 26 years old, "when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. And when they came to Hilkiah, the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites that kept the doors had gathered of the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim, and of all the remnant of Israel, and of all Judah and Benjamin. And they returned to Jerusalem. And they put it in the hand of the workmen that had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they gave it to the workmen that wrought in the house of the Lord to repair and amend the house. Even to the artificers and builders gave they it." In other words, those that would fashion it, those that would work on the house of God and build it and so on. It says, "to buy hewn stone and timber for couplings and to floor the houses which the kings of Judah had destroyed." Again, the artificers might be those that would work on the stone or work on that sort of thing. Those type of men that would work on marble and they would maybe carve it and fashion it and so on. That's what those means. Verse 12 says, "And the men did the work faithfully." Isn't that a good statement? That's not what we're going to preach about, but there were some faithful men that they could count on. And we read back in Kings 2 how they trusted them. They were just said, "We'll put this all in your hands. We'll trust you to get the work done. We can trust you with the money. We'll trust you to get the work done." And they were just faithful men. It says, "And the men did the work faithfully, and the overseers of them were Jehath and Obadiah, the Levites of the sons of Merari.
and Zechariah and Meshullam of the sons of the Kohathites to set it forward, and other of the Levites, all that could skill of instruments of music. Also they were over the bearers of burdens and were overseers of all that wrought the work in any manner of service, and of the Levites were their scribes and officers and porters. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. That's what we want to get to. They found the book of the law. What do we refer to as the law now? The books of the law are the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And obviously they found one of those books. They found the law that was given by God through Moses to the people. These are the things that God wants you to do. These were the commandments of God for the Israelites and the things God wanted them to follow. And it says there, and Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Can you imagine the house of the Lord? They were having to do all this work on it because it had been neglected for so long. And while these people are working in the house of God, you know what they find? They find the Bible. They find there the book of the law. They find there one of the books of Moses that was filled with the commandments of God for the people. And so they find the word of God. And they bring that out. And well, what are we going to do with this? This book of the law, this word of God had been being neglected for a long time. Look what it says. Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan, and Shaphan carried the book to the king, to Josiah, and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. You know, you gave us the money, you wanted us to do all this work on the house of God, that work's all getting done. Don't you worry about it, King Josiah. It says, and they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered it unto the hand of the overseers and to the hand of the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. So this word of God, this book of the law that they found from Moses, that they found in the temple, that they found in the house of God, they bring it, and Hilkiah brings it here to King Josiah and begins to read to him the law of God. Begins to read to him the word of God. Notice what it says, verse 19. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the law that he rent his clothes. He began to tear his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam the son of Shaphan and Abdon the son of Micah and Shaphan the scribe and Asaiah, a servant of the king, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. Listen, here's King Josiah. And the word of God, the word of the law, the book of Moses, it had been neglected for so long. And they find it in the house of God. They find it in the temple. And they bring it. And one of the priests then there begins to read it to King Josiah. And as King Josiah hears the word of the Lord just being read to him, his conscience was beginning to be smote. His conscience was being convicted as he realized, my fathers, they've not been keeping the commands of the Lord. They've not been keeping the word of God. And he realized how even more than he thought before, how many things had just been neglected and Passover's not being kept and things not being done that God wanted his people, the Israelites, to do. And so as Josiah is hearing the word of God being read, he's greatly convicted and he begins to tear at his clothes and he says to them, I want you to go inquire of the Lord and we've got to make things right. We've got to change some things around here. And he'd already been changing a lot of things. But the more that he heard the word of God being read to him, the more he learned this is what God wants and this is what God doesn't want. And he saw, oh, God is displeased with us. God is displeased with us at the things maybe that we've been doing that are sinful and wrong. He's displeased with us at the things that we've not been keeping, some of the things that God has commanded us to do. And a great revival ends up taking place. A great reformation ends up taking place here under King Josiah. Already many great things, but now as the word of the Lord is read and as King Josiah realizes this is what God wants and this is what he doesn't want, great revival began to take place. And King Josiah began to let his own heart be changed and then other things began to change also. From the law, from the word of God, came a knowledge and a recognition of their sin. And they did something about it. That's important, isn't it? When they had the law, when they had the word of God, they recognized, and Josiah recognized, we've been so sinful. We've not been doing what God wants us to do. Or there's maybe some things that they had been doing that God didn't want them to do. And they recognized their sinfulness. And he wanted to change things. He wanted things to make right. They began to do something about it. We'll come back here in just a minute if you want to mark that page. But look with me over at the book of James. James chapter 1 and verse 21. James chapter 1 and verse 21. They see what the word of God says. They hear what it says. And, oh, it convicts them. And Josiah says, we've got to change things. Go seek of the Lord. Go inquire of the Lord. And let's begin to change things. In James chapter 1 and verse 21, look what God tells us. It says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Lay apart all filthiness. Corinthians 7:1 talks about cleansing ourselves, purifying ourselves, living a holy life that pleases God. You know, that's what will happen, and that's what God wants to happen. We begin to receive the word of God into our heart and into our life. He wants it to change us. Look at verse 22. He says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know what the Israelites, they'd heard the word of God before. They'd heard the law of Moses, but somewhere along the line, there was people that just stopped obeying it. They stopped obeying it. They stopped heeding it. They were no longer doing the things that God wanted them to do. And when Josiah comes, and obviously he had not heard that book of law of Moses or certain parts of it, whatever. He obviously had not heard it read before, because when he begins to, the word of God is brought out, the word of the law of Moses is brought out, and he begins to hear it being read, and God is convicting him. He's saying, we have got to change things. We've been sinful. We've not been doing what God wanted. And you know what? Josiah right away wanted to become a doer of the word of God and not just a hearer only. It says there in James, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We the same way. We need to be doers of God's word. Don't just hear what it says and hear it preached and hear it as we read it and God tries to speak to us. Do what it says. Verse 23 says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, like a mirror, a piece of glass, or different things like that often would have been used for a reflection. Sometimes glass, just like you could go to a pond and see a reflection. In a piece of glass, you could see a reflection. Sometimes in copper and things like that, you could see a reflection. And it says, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect what? Perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. God says to us, listen, let's not just be hearers of the word of God, let's be doers of the word of God. And then he compares it to being like a mirror that we're supposed to look at and compare ourselves and see ourselves in that mirror. And he says that perfect law of liberty, the word of God, is to be like a mirror to you. And when you begin to look at that mirror, when you begin to look at the word of God and read the word of God, and God is trying to speak to your heart from his word, we're to let it be a mirror. We're to let it be a reflection. When we look at the word of God, we ought to look into our own lives and see, you know what, there are some things that just don't measure up to the word of God. Or there are some things in my life that need to be changed, because as I read and study and hear the word of God, I understand that this is what God is teaching me to do as his child. Or this is what God is telling me to do as a Christian. And so when we hear that, or when we read that, when we learn that, right away we need to say, well I better start doing that. I better do what God has commanded me to do. And not just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word of God. We need to let God make changes in our life. Read God's word, study God's word, hear what God's word says, and then become a doer of the word of God. Do what he says. We must receive the word, look into that perfect law of liberty, the mirror of the word of God, and allow God to make the changes in our life that he wants to make. Turn back there to Chronicles chapter 34. And I want you to look down to verse 29. 2 Chronicles 34:29. It says, "Then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem." Some of the elders, some of the heads, if you will, over the tribes and over the families of Israel. The king sent for them. He wanted them all to be gathered. As he read the word of God and he was convicted by it, and he said, "Boy, we've been sinful. There are things that we need to change," and so on. He then, as the king, says, "We need to bring everyone together, bring all the tribes together, bring all the heads together, bring all the families together," and so on. It says there in verse 30, "And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small." You know, he started with the elders. So he obviously started with some of the heads, you know, the leaders of tribes and families. But he brought them all, great and small, every man, all the people from all of Israel. He wanted them all to come within earshot to hear the word of God. And it says, "Brought all the people, great and small, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book." Again, as the king has read God's word and heard God's word and he's convicted by it, he now determines, "I'm making a covenant with God. I'm making a commitment to God. I'm promising God that I will keep his testimonies. I will keep his commandments. I will follow him with my heart and I will do what he wants me to do." And then notice what it says in verse 32. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. To stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. Verse 33 says, "And Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers." Turn back with me to 2 Kings chapter 23. 2 Kings chapter 23. And look there at verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 1. Again, you see how Josiah was determined, "I'm going to do what God wants me to do." But then he also caused the people to stand to it also. To stand to it also. 2 Kings 23 and verse number 1 says this. And the king, again, this is referring to Josiah. "And the king Josiah, king, sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant." And all the people stood to the covenant. The covenant that Josiah was making. Josiah was making a covenant to seek after the Lord. Josiah was making a covenant to love the Lord. Josiah was making a covenant that we will walk in his ways. I will walk in his ways. I will obey his statutes and I will obey his commandments and I will do the things that God has commanded us to do. And he realized some things have been neglected. Some things have not been being done. And he was brokenhearted over that. And he decides, "I'm going to do what God wants me to do." Again, as he heard God's word, he began to say, "I will do what God tells me to do. I want to be a doer of the word of God." So he made that covenant. But notice how the people too also, they stood to it. They stood up to the covenant. They stood to it with Josiah. Josiah made his decision and he made his vow and he made his covenant with the Lord to live a different kind of life, and the people stood to it. They all gave their agreement to it. They gave their agreement to it. That's what it's implying, because that's what they did. They stood to it. They gave their agreement to it. The same covenant, the same decision that Josiah was making, they stood up to it as well. I've known some churches that perhaps if they were taking a vote on business or something, they would have people stand to it as a sign of their agreement to something. And that's what the people were doing. They were showing their agreement with Josiah and showing their agreement that we've got to begin following the word of the Lord, and we've got to begin following his commandments and his statutes. The people stood to it. They gave their agreement to it. They were showing their support. They were showing that they were making the same decision and the same vow and the same commitment and the same covenant. And the people began to let God change them. That was one of the good times, the best times for the nation of Israel, when they had a king leading them who said, I want to follow after the Lord with all my heart. I want to seek after the Lord and I want to obey his commands. But not only that, there were some people then that stood to it as well. They stood with King Josiah and they stood to that same covenant in agreement with it, making that same decision and that same vow and that same covenant. The people were changed and the nation was changed. King Josiah and the people, they learned what the word of God said, and then they began immediately to do what it says. Now, we live in a strange day and age. There's a lot of people nowadays that don't seem to want to do what the word of God says. You can try to preach it to them or share it with them or say, look, this is what God wants you to do. And you're a Christian now, and there's some things that you ought to do. But too many times, people don't want to stand to it. They don't agree with it. They don't want to do what God wants them to do. They kind of sort of want to be a Christian, but they don't necessarily want to follow all the things that Christ would want them to do. And it shouldn't be that way. We ought to, as we get saved and begin to live for the Lord and hear what the Word of God says, we ought to do what it says. Be doers of the Word of God. The people learned what the Word of God said and then immediately started doing it. Can I ask you, can I ask myself the same question? Has there been a great change in our life since we've been born again, since we've been saved? There ought to be. There ought to be. We need to learn God's word and then submit to it. Turn back with me to Joshua chapter number 1. Joshua chapter 1. And we're going to look there at verses 7 and 8. Joshua chapter 1 and verses 7 and 8. We need to learn God's word and then submit to it. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. Could you read it for me if I ask you to? Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7 and 8. Learn God's word and then submit to it. Do what God's word tells us to do. Notice Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do. Observe to do according to what? To all the law. We are to be doers. We are to observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Tells the Israelites, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Again, that was a decision Josiah had already made when he was a little boy. I'm not going to turn to the right hand or to the left hand. I'm going to do what God says. So that's why when Josiah was now a 26-year-old man, and he begins to hear some parts of the word of the law, the word of the Lord read to him that he had not heard before, he's convicted in his heart of that, and he says, we're going to do that. There have been some things that have been wrong in our home and some things wrong in our nation, and we're going to change that, and we're going to make things right, and we're going to do what God wants us to do. And he stood and made a vow and made a covenant in front of the people that he would do what God wanted him to do. Oh, how we need to be the same way. Learn what the word of God says and then do what it says in our lives. He says, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. You want to be a prospering Christian, a prospering child of God, then let's do what the word of God says. Verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. We're to meditate, and you read and meditate and think on the word of God and think about what it says and apply it to your heart and apply it to your life and apply it to your family, and let God do what he wants to do in your life. He says, meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to some of the law that is written therein. No, that's not what he says. That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law that is written therein. He doesn't say, well, observe to do, you know, the parts of the law that I like. The parts of being a Christian that I like. The kind of the parts of the Bible that I agree with. No, he says, observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. You want to be a good success as a Christian? You want to be a good success in your family and a good success in marriage and a good success just in a life as a child of God and in pleasing God, then we need to do what the Word of God says. We're not to pick it apart. We're to say, okay, what God's Word says to me, I will do it. I will observe to do it. I will follow it. I will heed it in my life. And I pray that would be your decision. I pray that would be my decision. Will you stand to it? Will you stand to it? When you, like Josiah, begin to hear and learn, and the more you grow as a Christian, the more you begin to read the Bible and study the Bible and meditate on the Bible and hear the Bible preached, will you, like Josiah, say, okay, God, if that's what you want, then that's what I'm going to do. If there's some changes then, God, that you want made in my life, okay, God, I'm willing to make those changes. I want to do what you want me to do. Will you stand to it like Josiah did? What will be your decision? What will be your commitment? When you read God's Word, when you hear God's Word preached, will you stand to it and begin immediately to obey God's Word and follow it in all areas of your life? You know what? That's what God desires. That's what God wants from you, and that's what God wants from me. Like Josiah, let's say, okay, God, what you want, that's what I'm going to do. Like the people who followed suit. They followed in agreement with King Josiah and said, okay, we'll stand to it also. That he made his vow, and as the king, he made his vow and made his commitment and made his covenant with God and agreement and promise to God. But when they stood to it, they were saying, okay, we're standing to it. We're standing in agreement also. We're standing up to it. Okay, that's what I'll do. That's what I'm for. That's what I want also. Let's stand to it. Let's stand in agreement with God's Word and do what God wants us to do. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father,